We're going to continue in our service this morning as we look at the book of Matthew. If you've been with us for the past, well, all the weeks of this year, you'll know that we're reading through the Bible in a year in the 5x5x5 series. And this particular last week, we've been looking at Matthew chapter 8 through to 12. And the passage I'm going to share with you this morning comes from chapter 11. And it's a really poignant few verses in the middle of that chapter. It's the chapter where Jesus reveals something of his own character, where he says, "I am gentle and humble in heart." And in all the 89 chapters in the four Gospels, this is the only verse where Jesus talks about his own heart. And in a biblical context, the heart is not meaning our emotional life. But by our heart, we understand it's the driving motivation for life. It's what gets us out of bed every morning. As Dane Ortlund in his book, Gentle and Lowly, puts it, the heart in biblical terms is not part of who we are, but the very centre of who we are. All the miracles we have read about during the past week in Matthew are the purest reflection of God's heart. A heart which is overflowing with love and compassion and understanding. So in these words, Jesus is revealing the very core of his being, giving us a glimpse into just who he is. We see, he did not choose to reveal his majesty or his glory, his holiness or power or sonship. He chose to reveal, in a sense, the very opposite. And I believe if we want to make any sense of the verses around this statement, we need to fully understand what he said. So I'm going to read to you the verses from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And I guess for many of us, we will have heard those verses frequently. And they're so important, so vital to us in our Christian walk today. And I expect most of us know the last three verses far better than the first three. However, if we want to understand the second three, we really do need to understand the first. If we want to embrace these well-known verses, we need to understand those three verses better than I believe we currently do. Jesus starts this short paragraph with these words, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children." You may remember that these words come after a paragraph where Jesus denounces cities which have rejected his teaching and observes the criticism by the Jewish leaders of him and John the Baptist. In Jesus' words here, there is almost an air of frustration with what has been happening. So he resolves to bring a real focus to the situation by reminding the crowd just who he is and by revealing his heart. In verse 27, he reminds the crowd, and possibly any disciples who were still there, of his profound relationship with his Father. It's pivotal where Jesus is the bridge between us and God. He reminds us that the only way we know anything about God is because he reveals it to us. Because as he says in John 10, verse 30, "I and the Father are one." So the revelation about his heart is also a revelation about the heart of God, his Father. What a juxtaposition, a trinity imbibed with all the glory, all the power, all the majesty, yet having at its centre a gentle and humble heart. We need to understand that the glory, the power, the majesty are all under the control of his gentle and humble heart. Sadly, there is not enough time to delve deeper into these verses, but suffice to say they are so important in helping us to grasp the real meaning of the last three. In those last three verses, there are four really vital words in this passage. Come, take, learn. And if we can navigate these, then we will be able to understand the fourth, which is find. Jesus begins here by identifying a real issue. He addresses the fact that people both then and now are weary and burdened. When Jesus spoke these words, they were relevant to those that were listening and prophetic for us today. I don't think I've had many conversations in the past 6 months where this subject has not been mentioned. It seems that individuals in our society are worn down by the unrelenting, ongoing pressures and demands of life. And it is when these pressures mount that they begin to take their massive toll on our physical, emotional and spiritual well-being. When we read this verse, we jump over the first three words. But we need to note that before Jesus identifies that issue in his grace, he says three words, which are, come to me. It's an open invitation to all. There's a sense in which we need to see Jesus with his arms wide open saying, come to me. Just as a grandparent will open his arms and call out to his grandchild that is learning to walk. Jesus here is offering us a way to find energy and freedom and rest. But there are two things we need to do. Firstly, we need to come, and secondly, we need to receive. In the first, there is a huge challenge in coming to Jesus because it requires us to leave something or possibly someone behind. Coming to Jesus makes demands of us that we're often not expecting. It means we accept we cannot make it through life on our own, and that we need help to navigate life with all its many complexities, both of which fly in the face of culture. We live in a world which is convinced that we can succeed in life through our own efforts and hard work. And secondly, we need to receive. And I think subconsciously many of us would much rather give than receive, because to receive often implies weakness or failure. Both traits that we would not rather be associated with. If we want the rest which seems so elusive, we must come to Jesus and then be prepared and willing to receive from him. For me in this passage, verse 29 is the crux. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I just want to say at the outset, I do not believe Jesus here is talking predominantly about physical rest. From his words, I infer the rest relates to our souls. However, I do firmly believe that if our souls are at rest, then we have greater capacity which promotes better physical and emotional well-being. As we look at this verse, there is an inference I think we so often miss in the first three words. Take my yoke. And that is that we are already yoked to something or somebody. We may gain our identity from our occupation or live our lives to please our partners or children. However, which of these is our yoke will most likely destroy us and that to which we are yoked. If you gain identity from your occupation, you may eventually become bitter as you're passed over for promotion or feel you're not being dealt with fairly. If you try to live through your children, they will end up either hating you or grow up not able to function as an adult. Jesus here says, take my yoke and learn from me. So what is a yoke? It's simply an agricultural term. Simply put, a yoke is a piece of wood or metal to join two things together, usually two animals which in turn pull a plough or a cart. What Jesus is saying here is, come with me, journey with me, and let me be your guide through life. He continues by saying, as we travel together, you will learn from me and of me. Here, the obvious question must be, how can this happen? And the answer lies where Jesus reveals of himself by saying, for I am gentle and humble in heart. As I said earlier, he does not say he's holy or powerful or majestic or glorious. He says he's gentle and humble in heart. For me, this is real evidence that God is who Jesus says he is. Because if you were writing a book about a spiritual leader and saviour, you would not write words about the main character describing him as gentle and lowly in heart. You'd use words like powerful, courageous, strong and mighty. For us to fully grasp the extent of this passage, I believe we need a fresh revelation and understanding of the heart of Christ. So what is the heart of Christ? Obviously gentle and humble are a great place to start. The character trait gentle refers to someone who is kind, mild and tender of nature. Someone who is considerate of others and treats them with respect. Often softly spoken and non-confrontational. Hebrews 5 verse 2 says, he is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray. If we are the ones who are ignorant and going astray, we need to come to Jesus, because if we look inside ourselves, we often anticipate harshness from heaven. Whereas if we look to Christ, we can anticipate gentleness, because that is his heart. Equally, a humble person is not proud and does not believe that they are better than other people. Jesus is saying in this passage that he is humble. He's saying that he is totally accessible and freely available to anyone who seeks him. Jesus may well be the Son of God, but he's available to all. Christ's heart is also love. Everything we've read over the past 2 weeks in Matthew and the whole of Scripture simply screams of his love for us. We were created out of love. Jesus came to earth out of love. He surrendered his life out of love. He heals, releases and teaches us out of a heart of love. He will return because he loves us, and he gets angry out of love for us. Jesus loves because he is his Father's Son. And as I said earlier, John 10:30 tells us that Jesus and God are one. And 1 John 4:16 reminds us that God is love. So love is the predominant in the heart of Jesus. For us, the big problem is that we frequently overlay God's love with our own feeble understanding of it. Our love is often conditional and demanding, frequently unforgiving and destructive. It's the very opposite of God's love. So I've talked about God's heart as being gentle and humble and loving. And time does not permit me to cover his heart being compassionate, forgiving, peaceful, healing, sacrificial, merciful and gracious, just to name a few. I would, however, like to talk for just a moment about his cleansing heart. Maybe this is not an attribute of his heart that you considered, but it is so important in the context of this passage we read earlier. You may recall in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, where it says that if someone who was ceremonially clean, came into contact with someone who was unclean, then they became unclean as well. Now Jesus was, and always will have, the cleanest and purest heart. And who were the people Jesus most frequently associated with? The outcast, the sinners, the unclean of the day. When Jesus mixed with the unclean, did he become unclean? No. In fact, the very opposite happened. The unclean person became clean. The reason I mention this is because it's fundamental in understanding how our burden can be light. Despite our words, I believe we often struggle to grasp the fact that Jesus has forgiven our sin, that we are cleansed and free from its weight. Subconsciously, we hold on to our sin, believing God cannot forgive us. I came across an updated quote by John Bunyan from his book, Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. It goes like this. No, wait, we say, cautiously approaching Jesus. You don't understand. I've really messed up. in all kinds of ways. I know, he responds. You know most of it, sure, certainly more than what others see, but there are things deep down inside me that are hidden from everyone. I know it all, says Jesus. Well, the thing is, it's not just my past, it's the present too. I understand. But I don't know if I can break free of this any time soon. That's the only type of person I'm here to help. The burden is heavy and it's getting heavier all the time. Then let me carry it. It's too much to bear. Not for me, says Jesus. But you don't get it. My offences aren't directed towards others. They're against you. Then I'm the one most suited to forgive them. But the more of the real me you discover, the sooner you'll get fed up with me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So now we have come full circle. Earlier I emphasised those three words, come to me, that Jesus spoke at the beginning of verse 28. If we want to have a lighter burden, we firstly need to come to Jesus. But you will have heard that many times before. But often the greater unanswered question is, how do we come to Jesus? Well, to answer that, we need to go back to the very last two words at the end of verse 25. And those two words are little children. So we need to come to Jesus as little children. And there are two things about little children we need to understand and adopt as we come. Those two things are that children know they are helpless, and secondly, they know they are loved. They know they are helpless by their actions and early words. A child will cry for food or contact, will hold up its arms when it wants to be lifted, because it knows there are things it can't do without help. Also, a child knows it is loved. If you don't understand that, just watch a toddler extract an ice cream or sweets or a treat from a grandparent. Even at a very young age, they know they are loved, what that can mean, and often use it to their advantage. In the same way, that's how we need to come to Jesus, transformed by the knowledge that we are helpless and also knowing that we are loved by him. If we come like that, it will completely change us and our understanding of how our burden can be made light. Our yoke is never going to be light if we condemn ourselves. There's a verse in 1 John 3, verse 21, which says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God." So when we subconsciously condemn ourselves, which we so often do, then we are saying that we have no confidence in God. So it's no surprise that our burdens seem heavy. Come to me, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. We all need to come to Jesus as little children, knowing that we are helpless and loved. We need to take off the yoke of burden and put on Jesus' yoke, which is light. We need to learn from him, which we do by being yoked to him. And then after all that comes the rest for which our souls so often crave. If we want to be disciples of Jesus, we need to spend time with him. We need to become more like him. And then we're able to carry on his work here on earth. I hope that as you've reflected on those verses and I've shared these thoughts with you, that you will decide to remove the yoke that is a burden to you and take on the yoke of Jesus, which is so light. That you will understand his heart is humble and gentle. And you can walk into the rest of this day, tomorrow, and the rest of next week, knowing that God can forgive you if you ask him. Spend time with him, walk with him, learn from him, become like him, and carry on his work here on earth. Amen.